I never thought I will come out of India for anything, especially out of Ambattur. We were so well settled there.
Hey guys, welcome to Two Suitcases. This is a show where we unpack immigration stories and explore complex topics that transcend borders and culture. I am Bharat Madras Natarajan.
And I am Raksha Rajagopalan.
This episode is part of a mini-series where we dig deep to better understand our personal and family immigration stories. Today, we talk to my mom, Sukanya Natarajan, about her story. I was excited to have this conversation because I realized I never quite knew the motivations and struggles our family experienced moving to Zambia. Although it's an intimate story for me, I really hope some of you will resonate with it.
Hi, Amma. Thanks for sitting with us to talk about your life and your immigration story. We are really grateful for this opportunity and we're very excited to have this conversation with you. I know I've heard some of the anecdotes, but I'm looking forward to hearing more and sharing this with everyone else. So, tell us a little bit about your childhood. Where were you born?
First of all, let me thank you both for welcoming me to this program. I have been brought up in India, in various parts of India, to be very frank. Although I belong to Tamil Nadu, I never stayed there until my marriage. So I had grown up, my father was in the defense forces. So we had been moving every 2 years to all the places, all the remotest of the places that you can imagine. So we had been to the extreme north, extreme west, extreme east of the country. So people won't even have known the name. So I was born in Bombay, where my mother's maternal parents, grandparents were there. Then later on, I studied a little bit at Chennai. Previously, it was known as Madras, where my grandparents were there, my father's parents were there. So I studied up to, I think, grade two or something. Then I moved, I went and stayed with my parents after that. So the first time I went out and stayed with my parents, that was at Agra. That was, I think, in the year 1971. So I joined there. I didn't know Hindi at all. So I was given private tuition to learn Hindi. But later on, Hindi became like my mother tongue. I became so fluent in Hindi.
Yeah. So it sounds like you grew up in a lot of different places, making friends from a lot of different cultural backgrounds and lived experiences. What are some of your fondest memories growing up? Do you think about those Air Force days, moving with Tata and Pati through different towns and cities? What are some of the memories that stick out to you the most?
That, you know, when you grow up with so many people from various culture. Okay, basically they were all Indians, okay? We were born in India and grew up with Indians and mingled only with Indians. There were no foreigners there. So it was like, but we belong to the various regions, like Bengalis will be completely different, Punjabis will be different, Kashmiris will be different. And we South Indians, we ourselves have a lot of like Malayalis will be different from us. So it gives you a something that you understand all the other culture, you feel comfortable. My father, Tata, was a very friendly person. So it was like an open home for everybody. So all the bachelors, they used to come home. Like, or every day used to pass through to say hi to everybody, have a cup of tea, or in the places that we stayed, there was vegetables, fruits, milk, none of the things were available. So you can imagine, life was very tough. We had a very simple life, but we were full of like friends, happiness. We never thought there was something that we are lacking. And the fondest memory I have was from Agra, that was the Indo-Pakistan wartime. So staying inside the trench. Okay, it was a serious issue, but as children, we never knew it was so serious, so grave.
Yeah,
we used to enjoy. We were like three families who were there. So all the other people, they have vacated. They have sent back their families back home because of the war. But we three families were there. So they were like two children in all the houses. So by evening, 6 o'clock, all of us used to come and sleep in our house. And when the red warning, that is the alarm sound which comes from the war, the flights are going to move, we all used to run and go and sleep inside the trunk. And when the green warning, that is the green signal comes, we all will come back. Sometime we'll... So it was like a picnic time for all the children.
Yeah.
Right, right.
From there, we moved to Delhi when I was a little... Like I was entering my teen. So Delhi have really taught me what was real life. It's a capital city. And we were out of our comfort zone. Previously, we always stayed inside the defense quarters,
right,
mm-hmm. inside the campus. So it was well protected. There was no problem. The school bus used to come and pick you up and go. You'll be always within your family or your just close circle of friends. Mm-hmm. So all were your uncles and aunties who used to take care of you and all. But when you moved to Delhi, there is no accommodation for like quarters and all for at Delhi. It was so big. So they will provide you some, you have to rent out some house somewhere. And then you have to go to school by public transport.
Yeah.
So me and my brother, Ravi Mama, we yeah. both used to always get, and there were 21 or 22 KD Vidyalaya Central Schools around Delhi. So you won't get anywhere near your house. We got somewhere, admission somewhere very far away.
Got
it. We were in North Delhi. Yeah. And we got admission in South Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to like, commute like two or three buses every day to go to reach school. And my father had been a very good tutor at home. He used to read a lot. And from the small, a younger age itself, he has exposed us to the news.
Okay.
So yeah. every day, like he used to pay, read the paper and tell me and my brother, just look at the headline. So this is what Shah happened to the Shah of Iran. Then this is what happened around the world and even at Delhi.
Yeah.
And all the political jokes and all, satires and all, like Kushwant Singh, R.K. Lakshman. So he used to tell us to read all the cartoons. So after finishing my public board exam of grade 10, so I wanted to take up commerce. And my father was due for transfer. He was already transferred inside from normal Air Force. He was put into inter-services, okay. intelligence within okay. Delhi itself. That was a very prestigious thing. But that also he was due to get another transfer. So definitely after staying in a big city, he would have been transferred some in remote area again.
Okay.
So I was thinking what to do, but I was very adamant that I had to take only commerce.
Okay.
I was not interested in art. I was not good in science and yeah. I didn't want to take up arts.
Yeah. So you then finished up what, grade 10 in Delhi. Where did you go to college?
My grandparents, my mother's parents who were in Mumbai, they were living alone. So they were, my grandmother was a school teacher who left her job because she started going blind. Mm. She started losing her sight. So she was at home and she was feeling lonely. So she suggested to my parents to send me back to them. They will take care of me because Bombay has more potential. It has got more potential. It's
right.
a big city.
Right.
And education was also easy there. And I got good, very good marks. So I moved to Mumbai. I got an admission. I don't know. Somebody arranged for my admission. It's called Junior College.
Okay.
For 11, grade 11 and grade 12. So for grade 11, somebody organized some admission I never even knew. And the college was just behind the house. Living with old grandparents who were very orthodox. Okay, very highly educated, but they had very strict rules to follow. It was strict regimen there. You can't go out 4 o'clock. You have to come home. Okay, I'm not a roaming type of girl also. But then you can't even go out with your friends anywhere. We had a very close set of friends. So, and we were all like too studious. So either we will come and study here or then go to one of the friends' house. Boy or girl, doesn't matter. So I've been brought up in co-education from day one. And I don't have any such feeling. And we were very comfortable. And the parents, even the grandparents, they have no such taboo and all that you should not go out with the boys' friends and all, they should not come home and all. So we used to go out and we had like 6-7 friends. We used to move around with everybody. But it was under their control.
Right.
Once when I was late from coming from college, my grandfather wearing veshti and he never used to wear a shirt and all, he used to wear one angavastram. So wrapping that, he came to the college looking out for me.
Oh, my.
It was so embarrassing.
Do you still keep in touch with those kind of college friends? I know there's one auntie that you've mentioned that
Diana?
Reaches out to you. Diana, yeah.
Diana.
Yeah.
She's my She is the only consistent figure in my life, I think.
Yeah.
I don't have much friends to remember now, because in my younger days and all, I don't even remember. I just remember a few people's names.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
But
yeah.
Have no contact. Only with Diana, I still have.
Yeah.
Okay, contact. So you know, now you finished college and you were in Mumbai. How long were you there, and then what happened?
I was in Mumbai for 2 years. I did my 11th and 12th junior college there. After that, I had to go to college. I started missing my parents. Mm. That was the only time I started missing them very badly. When I was young, I don't think I missed them a lot.
Yeah.
Because I was pampered by everybody. After that, I really missed them. I wanted to go back to my parents. That time, my father was transferred in Udhampur in Jammu Kashmir. And there was one government college. That's all. And it was this defense area.
Okay.
It was some command, Northern Command headquarters or something. So it was only the defense people's children who were there. And they were very few. All of them, they will opt to go out.
Yeah.
So either to Chandigarh or to Delhi to study. Nobody will stay in Udhampur to study a degree. So I stayed there for 2 years.
Okay.
I wanted to do chartered accountancy. So I moved to Chennai because I knew my parents are going to come back to Chennai one day.
So you moved to...
To my grandparents' house, my father's parents' house, when I was 20. Then my parents, they came and joined in 1987. My tata left the job. He from Jammu, he moved to, from Udhampur, he moved to Jodhpur, to Rajasthan. But I didn't stay with them. I just went for 1 month holiday to visit. That's all. Then tata winded up. He gave voluntary retirement and he moved to Chennai. Because party was very particular that Tata and the family have to move to Chennai, settle down there and look for alliance for marriage for me.
Did you always think you were going to get an arranged marriage? Was that just a given that you will be, they will find you a match and that's going to be your life?
No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
Our family case is completely different.
Okay.
They were like, we had a lot of love marriages in the family in the previous, my Tata party generation itself, my Tata party themselves. So my Atta, everybody had love marriage. If I met somebody and I wanted, definitely there won't have been any opposition. And Appa was, this was, ours was an arranged marriage, yeah.
So you finally met Appa, it was an arranged marriage, and then what happens?
It was a completely like, okay, I knew when, once I landed in Chennai, I knew. The house I'm going to go, my new home after marriage, is definitely not going to be like my home. Because our family was a completely out of place, out of society family.
So in the sense of what? Being more progressive and open-minded?
More progressive, yes.
Yeah.
Open-minded, more progressive, very ahead of their time. I never expected any other Brahmin family to be like that.
So you decided, okay, this is it. I am going to adapt myself. I'm okay that I am going to be a part of a very traditional family. Were you excited or did it make you nervous?
I was excited to stay in a joint family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love joint family. That is my thing, that I wanted to stay in a big family and to adjust everybody because I like people around me. I can't stay in a house where only husband, wife and children are there. I'll go crazy. So from the very beginning, I was always like brought up with a lot of people and I wanted to be with people, with a big family, joint family. And I was really excited to stay with my in-laws, with my brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law and all.
Yeah. So it's in that joint family setting that I guess the first conversations about moving out of India must have come up. Do you remember how that conversation went?
Everything happened overnight. I never even thought that I will move. We were so well settled there, well established, well settled. And I never thought I will come out of India for anything, especially out of Ambattur.
Yeah, so what happened? Well settled there. What happened? Why did you?
So something overnight, some decisions were taken for everybody's better thing. And Balaji Chirappa proposed, just said that it won't be possible for Appa to carry on working out. For so many, like going from Ambattur, from North Madras to Tambaram, South Madras, every day, twice a day, he used to travel for his work.
Bala Ichitapa is Appa's younger brother, and he was already in Zambia at that point?
Immediate brother, yeah. He was in Zambia, then he said, no, better to move here.
Do you think it was for better opportunities, right? That he was it maybe because you have a better life and better opportunities? Is that why?
Mm-hmm. Not like that, no. Not because of better opportunity. We were well settled there. But overnight, some decision for our, what you say? I don't know how to explain it. It'll be better for the future.
Okay. Okay.
So we all moved there. And it wasn't moving away from family. We all moved together. So Appa moved immediately. Then after 8 months, then Tata Party also got the permit. We all came together. Rahul, Bharat, myself, Tata and Party.
Mm-hmm.
We all moved together to Zambia. Yeah.
So when Appa had moved, and those, 8 months that you were in Ambattur and Appa was in Zambia, I'm guessing because everything happened overnight, it was probably in that period when, in your mind at least, you were starting to think about what life would be like in Zambia. What were some of your expectations or thoughts even before you moved?
I wanted to work again.
Okay. Were you concerned that you might not get a job in a place like Zambia where?
I never even thought like that.
Okay.
Okay.
It never came to my mind. Then Sundarata came here and she told me, okay, you start learning computer. So when I was working, there was no computer, and computer was there very slow and different. Then Windows and all came later on. So that is when then I utilized that time to learn computer.
So basically better yourself or educate yourself further.
Exactly. I was preparing myself, yeah.
Got it.
For the job, yeah.
What was your perspective what did you think how Zambia would be before you moved?
Atte, Chitapas, all of them were here. So three of the families were already here. So I knew what was Zambia.
Okay. So you'd kind of seen pictures, heard stories,
I was prepared for it, yeah.
Were you excited or were you nervous?
Both.
Both.
Why were you nervous?
Nervous because I'm coming out of my comfort zone again.
Yeah. Yeah.
To start the family all over again in a new place. Like after settling down after 10 years of marriage again, you have to start from scratch.
Yeah, that's scary.
You never know. Anyway, relocating is a big decision. Yeah. It's a challenge.
What was the preparation like before you went to Zambia? So, you know, you had obviously people already living there and telling you what you could expect moving to Zambia. Mm-hmm. So how did you prepare now? You're moving to, you know, Africa away from your home and you're going to take your in-laws along with you. So how did you prepare yourself in terms of mentally and also things that you want to take with you?
I was very excited. Luckily, my close sister Meena came there for holidays. And she gave me a big list, long list. And she moved very recently to Zambia. So I knew. Jaya Chitti gave her a list. So we knew.
So these are all the aunts. Jaya and Meena are basically
aunties,
the aunties.
My co-sisters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
My husband's brother's wives.
Yeah. So it seemed like you didn't have to figure everything out from scratch and you went completely unprepared. There's almost like a blueprint of these are the things that you need to take, or these are the things that you need to think about, or these are the things that you need to expect when you move. So I think that's really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. I was told that for 3 years, you can't go back to India for anything. So, okay. I was prepared you won't believe, you will laugh. So of Rahul Bharat and all, I had three sets of shoes, three sets of uniform, three sets of dresses. If they grow next, what to wear? All the medicines, this herbal medicine.
Yeah.
That asafoetida, things like that.
Yeah. Got it.
Not much. Especially medicines. I brought a lot of medicine.
Yeah.
Because the medical is a big challenge here.
Yeah. I was about to ask, was that one of the challenges that you were expecting before moving? Is that, you know, healthcare and medical facilities might be a bit more limited compared to India?
Yeah. Mm. So we had a complete body checkup and all, and just Tata had to get his hearing aid done. So
I can imagine you might have been okay at that point, but you know, maybe concern about Tata and Party and their age-related issues and them having to move, that must have been a bigger concern in terms of health issues. So you moved to Zambia, right? You have some expectation of what you're going to see there. You've, let's say, lived there for a few months at this point. What do you think were some of the initial challenges?
A very small house. It was so suffocating, because I never imagined that we'll end up in such a bad house. We'll be allotted to. That was the only challenge. Other than that, we enjoyed life.
Yeah.
In spite of the small house, we enjoyed. We had a very good set of friends who were everything for us.
Yeah. How did you find that set of friends?
Okay. Before Appa is before me, then all our set of friends he had.
Okay.
He has already developed
met
that.
Them,
yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. And I think that's
not
how
after my coming.
From what I remember, that's kind of how it happened with a lot of at least Tamil families, right? Is where the husband moves first. And so you have all these like married bachelors who are in Zambia with their wife and kids still back in India. And they all meet each other and get to know each other. And then as their wives and kids and families move to Zambia, it's like there's already a community there for the families to kind of get
to
know.
So not only in Zambia, everywhere, anywhere you say.
That's interesting. Was there any issues in terms of like cultural shock, things that you found would work differently compared to how you were used to in India?
No. I had no cultural shock here.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very comfortable, maybe because of our adaptability people are so good. Only cultural shock I got was on the positive sense. People were very polite. You cannot find so polite, so humble, so sweet people anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Once you get used to Zambian culture of greeting people, when you go back to India, you feel, why people are shouting like this? Why they are so restless, so annoyed?
Yeah. So, Amma, how did you find your first job in Zambia? Because I know you didn't work right away, right? It was a couple of years maybe after which you found your job?
No. I got it immediately.
Okay.
I got
within
10 months or something.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go look out for a job, but I was okay. People knew that I was ready to work. So I got a job somewhere and then they said, no, it's the same Appa's company, same competitor. So you can't, same line of business, so you can't join there. I said, okay. So all those are basic things which are applicable. And then later on, somebody said, okay, there is a job available. I said, okay. But it was not a great job when I joined. I said, okay, instead of sitting at home, I can at least go there.
Did you feel any kind of family pressure to not work immediately or wait until you settle down a bit more or until the kids are a bit older or any of those kinds of pressures?
Yes, that was always there. That was there. Everybody wanted me to take care of the children, not to leave them and go. You see, family members, okay, they care for the children. Yeah, that's nothing wrong in it. That is what all the parents, grandparents and all want, that the children must be protected, they must be taken care. But at this stage, when I wanted to go to work, that time I was 35, and I wanted to work again, there was a little, and it was only Sauri Chitapa who really supported me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you felt as a woman that the expectation was you should be at home and take care of your kids, and you wanted to break out of it and be independent.
Yeah, because time is changing.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And those days when my grandmother had been a career woman.
Yeah, so it's not really like it's not like you're breaking barriers from what you're used to in your family.
Yeah.
It's just a normal thing to expect and want to do.
Yeah, I also started feeling that, okay, children are going to grow. Why should I waste my...
Yeah.
Your time.
Whatever I have.
Yeah.
I have to utilize that. If somebody is offering me a job, why should not I take it up? And I knew I can balance very well between home and job. It's not that I'm going to neglect my home and just think about my job. I balanced it very well till the end, to my satisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel there was a financial pressure to have a second paycheck come in the house as well? Was that part of a concern?
Yeah. Because you see, nowadays education is becoming so expensive.
Yeah.
You can't educate your children in Zambia. If you are hoping something big, dreaming for them, they have to go out.
That's interesting. So were you very aware from very early on that me and Rahul had to kind of be sent out of the country to...
Exactly, not to US.
Yeah.
I didn't think of US or something, India or wherever it was. Any added income is beneficial to the family, right?
Absolutely. Right. At that time, so was it interesting, like you're in a new country, you're working in a new work environment, and you have to take care of your kids. Was it challenging?
I loved my job, whichever job it was. I was really very fortunate when it came to my job. I was like the queen in both the companies where I worked. I was highly respected. Everybody liked me a lot. It was my work also, my sincerity also, and my, I don't know, my personality or what, I don't know. I was lucky. And I, one thing I will tell you, the difference between working in India and working in Zambia.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the security of female.
Okay.
I have never come across evening in Zambia. Never, ever. I used to be in the warehouse in the initial year with all men's stuff. I was the only female working. And during lunchtime and all, it was like a shop. They would close the doors. I used to be inside with them. But I never felt anything. Whether it was Zambian men, Indian men, British men, or any other, belonged to any other country. They all had been very, very respectful. I don't know. People say there are evening outside, but I have never come.
Yeah, I can attest to that too. I think I never, ever, never crossed my mind to be feeling scared in Zambia at all. I felt very secure and, you know, it's different when we go to India.
How many times I have... Because how many times during this prayer time and all, I have driven at midnight to Kafue with ladies.
Yeah, which is like a what, good like 40, 45 minute drive, like to the next town over.
Midnight. Nobody to rescue you if there is a tire puncture or anything.
Yeah.
Anybody can stop you. I never had any problem. I am very proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it sounds like moving to Zambia really gave you a bit more room to be more independent, kind of focus a bit more on your career and thrive in that in a way that maybe you might not have had a chance to do in India, which is really like I've never thought of
it. I was lucky.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
But I'm curious to know, did you feel a sense of insecurity living in a country that's not your own? The fear of having to leave one day? Did you ever have that fear?
And let me add on to that. I think we have friends and families that have lived in places like Uganda and Zimbabwe, where, you know, there's a lot more like political pressure to just be ready to move out anytime, because you never know when someone can politically use, you know, immigrants
Zambia is a very peaceful country. It's a very peaceful country. We are very fortunate. Zambia has got a very good luck.
So immigration-wise, you guys felt very secure.
Okay, we never had any problem. I used to remember Rahul and Bharat when I was working, when my work permit was supposed to be renewed, they used to pray, Amma should not get her work permit so that she can stay at home, especially Bharat.
Wow, Amma, you make me sound like a terrible son.
You didn't want your mom to be independent. Shame on you, Bharat.
No, he wanted me to be with him. At least you come and work as a teacher in my school. Otherwise, drive the car to me to school. But be with me. And I used to get it approved. And both of them say, okay, what to do now?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
you
cute.
Carry on.
That's cute.
I know the few months that you were in between working at that first job and the second job in Zambia, that was a time actually you used to like drop us off to school every day all the way at Lake Road.
Yeah, I left the job for them because Rahul was in grade 10, I think. So they started missing me. They wanted to be at home. And I was also not happy with I wanted to move out of the first job. So I said, it's better time for me to quit it. And I quitted the job at the correct time before the company was dissolved. And I was at home for 1 year and my boys were so happy in the beginning. But later on, it became a pressure on them, I think. The next job when I got, they said, okay, better you go and work.
I mean, why not?
Did you feel, Amma, the pressure to find a job immediately? Or were you okay with taking a few months, 1 year break and then coming back?
No, it came to me. I was easy going on that ride. I was not very seeking for job. I have refused few jobs also. I was not very much interested to work there. But this job, I said, okay, I also need a change. What am I going to do sitting at home all the time? Right. I enjoyed 1 year. That 1 year holiday was enough for me. So when the offer came, I jumped into it. That's all.
When you had moved to Zambia and, you know, you set up your life there, did you at some point, and you must have, I'm guessing, but at some point, did you feel like you were too far away from your parents? Because I'm guessing when you got married, your expectation was, okay, I'm going to be in Chennai. Tata and Pati are also going to be in Chennai. I'll at least get to see them fairly often. But moving all the way to Zambia, and you said too, like you're expecting not to come back to India for about 3 years after you'd moved first. What were your emotions thinking that you'd be so far away from your parents?
I was not very much disturbed, but yes, I was a bit disturbed because my father came to the airport to see me off at Mumbai. And when he started crying, I was a little bit upset.
Do you feel like, you're away from your parents and that kind of felt not the greatest, but did you also feel like you were losing touch with India? Like you know, up to some point, it must have felt like, okay, India is home, but I'm just here working and setting my life here. But India is still
home. I always felt like that. My soul is always Indian. Yeah. I may be Zambian outwardly, but my soul is always Indian.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there was never a point where you felt like, okay, I'm kind of, or not, you know, maybe not like thinking that India is not home, but sometimes feeling like, okay, whenever we go back on holiday, am I losing touch of what's happening in India? Because like I'm kind of so far away and not kind of understanding how things are changing back home. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, that is because the time we moved, that was the end of the millennium, okay?
Yeah.
New millennium is starting.
Yeah.
And India have changed so drastically in those 4 or 5 years, I should say. Because software industries have come up, all girls are so highly educated compared to men, boys, so everybody's an engineer. But okay, always our community has been very highly educated, but still the freedom of girls going around, going to US, all most of them were software employees.
Yeah.
So they had a very independent life. So India, even in life in India, have changed so drastically. That was the time we moved out of India.
Right.
Interesting.
As we moved off, I think the whole India has changed.
Which is, it's weird you say that because that's exactly how I feel about Lusaka at least. Not the maybe whole of Zambia, but Lusaka, I feel like since I moved out for college, every 6 months or 1 year that I would come back, it would just
Everything
be completely
changed.
Different.
So, yeah. Aman, now that you've been living in Africa for over 20 plus years, do you think you'd stay here forever? This is your permanent home?
Or do you still have thoughts of moving to India?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have always planned. So when we reach India, Zambia itself, I have planned. 2017, okay, all my commitments will be over. My children must be working. Me and Appa, we are going back.
Wow.
That was 2017. And now it is 2021. It's not working out. So I'm not, no.
So
I'm not sure. But still, I'm waiting for that day.
Do you feel like Appa wants to maybe like, spend a bit more time in Zambia than you, or do you feel like he's also ready to move out?
Both of us are very clear to move back.
Okay.
It is only his job which is holding him back.
Interesting. Yeah. So you never felt that Zambia is this permanent place that I'm going to settle here, and you never felt that?
Yeah, I have been moving around places all my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's always like, okay, we have come here to work. We finished our work. We have to go back. Yeah, because maybe I'm born to different parents or my grandfather was also a different person. Okay, home is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, you have to go back home.
So home meaning India. Interesting.
Home meaning India, yeah.
Home meaning India for us, yeah.
Interesting.
Amma, for you all, it may be different. Yeah,
yeah it is different. Yeah.
For us, I think like there's a sense of Zambia is home.
Yep.
Because we never really grew up in India.
You grew up there.
Right,
yeah.
So like Zambia is home, right? Emotionally, it's home. But I feel like functionally, I don't know if it ever can be.
Yep.
Because in my mind, it's like, okay, let's settle down. I wanna settle down. I wanna get a house, have kids. Like, I just wanna settle down around a community. Like, feel like I'm in one place where I can now start putting roots down, right? And I don't think I would ever think about
Zambia.
Moving back to Zambia until. But again, maybe like until I feel like I am close to retiring. And now, like, I've finished
exactly.
all my
That's
commitments.
That's what I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this stage of life, you can't afford to think of that.
Right.
But
right.
for me, when my we had children already when we came. Okay. So when we knew our children are going to settle down, after that, it is for us to take care of ourselves. And it's our choice where we want to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess like, yeah, those are very similar emotions with us as well. It's
very.
Like, yeah, functionally, we need to find a home for now so that we like figure out all our commitments and like set up our life and live it. And then maybe after we're done with all the commitments, like go back to the emotional tug on your heart, which is calling you home.
Correct. Sometimes yeah. I have this feeling where I can actually picture myself living in a beautiful home in Zambia. Like I can picture it.
Yeah.
But functionally right now, I don't know if that's the best decision, you know, because.
Yeah. Even now for me also, I don't know whether it will be functional because I don't know ABCD in India now. I have to depend on everybody for everything, even for small things. But still, I want to go there. So maybe it's a fantasy. As Rahul says, your fantasy holiday. Just dream about it and forget it.
Yeah.
Takes him to always bring us back to reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, Amma. So, you know, living in Zambia, obviously, from your experience, sounds beautiful, right? And looks like you had a wonderful life. But I'm sure with all of that came sacrifices. So did you feel like you had to sacrifice anything by leaving India, or do you feel you didn't? Not really.
No, not really.
Okay, interesting. Mm. Okay.
Because I had an adoptable, I have been moving around.
Yeah.
I immediately adopt to a new place. I never feel like, even if there is an old house, I don't go back and see, oh, this is the house where I stayed there. Let me go and see. I don't have no such attachment.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think, has Appa ever expressed any regrets about moving to Zambia or things that like he might have felt like if I was in India, I would have been able to, you know, hang out with my high school friends and all these guys who are now all in one WhatsApp group? Does he have regrets like that or things that he's sacrificed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appa always never liked to stay in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
Although he had a good time
with
his friends.
Yeah.
He had a good time and he is having a good time. But still, somewhere in the corner of somewhere, he still has a feeling that he has to go back.
Yeah. I have hope that you're going to be in Zambia for a while because 10 years ago, you told me in 5 years, you're going to move to India and retire. So I think there's still...
I said 2017.
I think, Amma, we're going to be coming back to Zambia with maybe grandchildren and maybe we are going to have the same life. And you'll still be there.
You never know.
Yeah. Amma, what has been your favorite part about living in Zambia or in Africa in general?
Okay, not about Africa. Okay, I like environment. I like free place. I like trees and plant and clear atmosphere. That is something we are really very fortunate to live here.
Yeah.
Other than that, I came out of the joint family system. Okay, I stay with my in-laws even now. But still, there you come under your big joint family that somebody take the decision. Here, like, I take the decision. That I was very happy about that very satisfactory feeling in the beginning. That I'm able to decide for my family. I'm able to decide for my children. I can decide what I want in life.
Right, right. I never really thought too much about that. The difference between the joint family decision-making framework and the nuclear family.
For men, it is different.
Right.
Yeah, for ladies, it is different. Yeah.
Right.
Wow, that's so interesting that you say that.
Yeah.
The sense of independence is what you love too. Wow, I love that. I love that.
Because we never knew that, okay, I'm capable of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Amma, looking back, do you think that moving to Africa was the right choice for you and your family?
I think so. God has brought us here because there is some better plan for us. Otherwise, he won't have brought us here.
Yeah.
Maybe... I will tell you, because I had been exposed to all the Indian culture when I was a student.
Right.
For my children, maybe it was better for them to have international
exposure.
Back in home, definitely, I don't think they would have got it, even if they studied in international school or anywhere.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I know I've spoken, you know, me and Raksha have spoken, me and Rahul have spoken too. And like the thing that we really appreciate about not growing up in India is precisely that. We're Indian, but home is not India. And because of that, like, we are forced to meet and get to know different people from different backgrounds, and we're forced to adapt to different cultural values. And it's also the fear that we have of, okay, what if we raise kids in the US or in Canada or in the West? Would they never get this kind of exposure, even if they go to an international school? And just feeling like, okay, there's a lot of value in having that diversity of exposure, but... is it even practical for us to give it to them? And is that something that we just have to accept, that because we are like first, second generation immigrants, we have that, but maybe our kids, because they will be American or Canadian or whatever they are, they might not have that because they would never be forced
definitely
to move
so.
Out.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, I felt too that maybe this is from my family, and I think our family is also pretty similar, is that we also wanted to be very Indian. Very the importance of festivals and culture, I think, were more pronounced in our homes because we were so far away from India. You know, we did we celebrated everything. Do you think if you were in India, it would have been different?
Definitely, when we move away from our culture, we realize how strong our roots should be and how valuable our culture is. And we try to retain it more.
This was a really good conversation. I've never, Raksha has had a few talks like this with you about all of this, but I personally have not. So I'm really happy that we had this talk. It's really interesting for me to hear about how you grew up, what your thoughts were when you were a young adult. Because I think as we're growing older, I'm starting to think, okay, what...
You're growing older?
Yeah, I mean, like, what decisions did Appa and Amma have to make when they were 25? Are they similar to the decisions I have to make now? Or what decisions have they had to make when they're 30? Are they similar to those kinds of decisions that I'm thinking about now? I think, like, those are questions that I'm having. And so I'm glad that this is not getting lost.
But one thing, let me tell you, you can't judge yourself. You can't put yourself in our place and see, or put us on your place and see, because time is changing.
Right.
You also have to change with the time. The thing which was applicable for our time is no more applicable.
But I think what I'm realizing is the opposite. The things that I think are completely not applicable to your time, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, they can't have possibly had to make the same decisions. And then we have some of these conversations and I'm like, no, even 30 years ago, like, you had to think about very similar things, very similar decisions, faced very similar challenges that I'm facing now. So like, I also don't need to feel like I need to do all of this from scratch. I can have a conversation with you and feel like, okay, now I know like what you've had to think about and how that worked out. So Amma, thanks for having this conversation with us. It was really open and really a vulnerable conversation. And I learned a lot about your life and your journey moving to Zambia and some of your plans for the future. Although I suspect that it would take a little while for that to fall into place.
Thank you so much for having this conversation with us. I really learned so much from you. I'm glad I had this opportunity to do this with you. And I hope you enjoy talking to us as much as we did talking to you.
Even I enjoyed. It's a pleasure talking to you all. I'm bringing out all old memories. Thanks for having me with you.
You're always welcome, Ma. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you were able to take something away from this conversation. Please follow us on our Facebook and Instagram at Two Suitcases Pod. Again, that's at Two Suitcases Pod, spelled out. Feel free to leave feedback, ask questions, or even suggest topics for future episodes. Look out for the next episode on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for unpacking with us. See you next time.